be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make a best attempt today to bring you to what I feel the Holy Spirit brought to me. It was a week ago Saturday morning. I was semi-sleeping in my chair for congestive reasons. When I woke up suddenly and the Lord wanted my attention, so I just sat there waiting. And out of my soul, something was triggered, and something I had not thought about. And He began to show me a tremendous lack in the church. Listen, if God wants to change the church, He's got to change the pastor. Things got to work in the pastor, man. It's hard to go in a direction without him. And so it began to show me a tremendous lack. And it's like, Lord. And I knew for sure, obviously the Lord doesn't lie, but I knew for sure that this was true. And I want to read several scriptures here today. And perhaps you'll find out what the lack is in the church, much of the church today. I can't speak for everyone. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, something that we're all very familiar with. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm speaking on a lack in the church world today. My next scripture is found in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. There is nothing more pleasant to a preacher's ears then when he says a reference and he hears pages turning. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, this was the disciples, remember, and they were going through what John and Peter had been taken into custody and let go, and they prayed. And the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I don't believe this is an analogy or an illustration. I believe the place actually was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled, and they were all filled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Where in Acts chapter 2 they spake in other tongues, in Acts chapter 4 they left and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. My next scripture is Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, for they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. I am going to solve the church growth issue here today. Insomuch, verse 15 of Acts 5, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. My next scripture is Acts chapter 8 and verse, starting with verse 6. And the people, Acts 8:6, and the people with one accord, this is when Philip goes to Samaria, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. My next scripture is Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 44. Remember, I'm speaking about a great lack in the church today. Acts 10:44. Well, Peter, he's Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, he's in Cornelius' house. He's crossed the threshold over from Jewish to Gentile. Now he's in a Gentile's house. And as he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. All of them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. My next scripture is Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts 16:25. We have Paul and Silas in Philippi, and unjustly they were thrown into prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. The place was shaken, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. That would preach right there. And immediately, all the doors were opened. Some of the doors didn't stay shut. All the doors were open. When God opens something, He doesn't leave nothing shut. And everyone's bands were loosed. There are many more examples, but I'm restricting myself to these. What is the great lack in the church world today is this. This is how I define it. What I've read here are examples of the manifest presence of God. It is not easy because my vocabulary is limited. How can I share with you what the Lord showed me? That there is a difference between the presence of the Lord and the manifest presence of the Lord. It may not seem much, but it matters a great deal. Of course, we have the presence of the Lord here today. But this manifest presence of God is something more intense. It brings it into something more visible. It is more palatable. It is something that not only you feel, but you experience this manifest presence of God. Paul, on the way of Damascus, just didn't feel the presence of the Lord. It was the manifest presence of Jesus that turned Paul around. Saul became Paul. There is no doubt when you're in a group of people and there is a manifested presence of God, everybody is affected. Something happens to everybody. And we're not in doubt of whether the Lord showed up or not. He showed up in a mighty way when it is the manifest presence of God. I believe that the true church of Jesus Christ was built on the manifest presence of God. And down through history, the real churches survived through the manifest presence of God. This year will, on July 4th of this year, this country will be 250 years old. And generally speaking, any country about that time is on a downward spiral. The ideals of its founders have gone the way of people who have tried to use it for their own profit and all of that. In 250 years, generally you will see a decline. Unless we have the manifest presence of God. Since the early 1900s. Hard to believe that I was born in that century. But since the early 1900s, when God poured out of His Spirit in places like Wales and Los Angeles, California, Azusa Street, we would call those an outpouring of the Spirit of God, the manifest presence of God, the meetings that attracted people to that Azusa Street mission were not Pastor Seymour. It wasn't the other speakers. People went there to feel the manifest presence of God. So they came from Australia. They came from Europe. They came from all the four corners of the globe. They came from New York and Maine. They came from Florida and Louisiana. They came from Washington and Oregon. Why? Because they desired to experience the manifest presence of God. And I tell you, with a broken heart, we are missing the manifest presence of God. You younger folks in this place today, you've probably never ever seen or been involved where there has been the manifest presence of God. This is how scarce it is. We make believe, but I'm not talking about the make believe stuff. I'm talking about the genuine manifest presence of God. I'll try to explain it in a minute. Preachers today, we've got pastors in pulpits that have never experienced the man. They've never been in a service with the manifest presence of God. How can I expect them then to cause the church to do the right thing if they have never been in a place where the manifest presence of God is? It's a tremendous lack in our meetings today. You know, it's hard to miss something that you've never had. Rarely will you see someone craving what they've never had. I don't know how old I was, maybe 22, 23 years old. And my parents' anniversary, I think it was in the summer, August 16th was their anniversary, and they all wanted us to go to Letchworth State Park, to the Glen Iris Inn. Wonderful restaurant there at this beautiful park. And so we all went there, and meaning my brother and sisters and their spouses, and we all had dinner there. And there I was introduced to King Crab Legs. Never had it before. And I think someone else must have been paying. But somebody convinced me to try it. I'm like, well, okay. I'm a middle child, so I'll try most anything. And so these big king crab legs, they were already split, and the meat was all right there waiting for me. And somebody said, if you just take a forkful of that and just dip it a little bit in butter, you'll go to heaven. And they were right. Like, this is different. This is like meat candy. It is sweet and wonderful. And this is amazing. Now, what is the problem with king crab legs? They're expensive. But now I've hurt myself because I've had them. And from time to time in my life, I'll just sit there and think about king crab legs. Like how I'd like to have one in my mouth. And some years ago, they weren't terribly expensive like they are now. Dev, I don't know when the last time I've had a king crab leg, but it's been too long. I can't remember when we had them last. But sometimes, on occasion, I'll just sit there and crave king crab legs. If I'd never had it, what do I care about king crab legs? Yeah, whatever. Well, honey, it's that way with the manifest presence of God. If you've never had it, you don't crave it. But if you have had it, that some of you here are old enough to know what I'm talking about today. Those meetings where the Holy Ghost would take the speaker and push him in the back. He'd take the musicians and bring him on down. And he says, I'm in charge now. He would come and manifest or show himself so strongly that there was no doubt that he was there, and then things happened. People got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. They got delivered from their garbage. They were healed. All kinds of things happened in the manifest presence of God. What kind of state is the church in if we don't have the manifest presence of God? We have a bunch of guys trying to make stuff up in order to attract people to their building for some reason, whatever that is. The ulcers would become littered with self-medication. Bottles of alcohol and cigarettes. And these days it would be bags of weed. You'd find them on the altar because God has showed up. My son Matthew tells the story of him coming back to the Lord and serving the Lord. And he and his buddies knew how to have a good time at a bar. And it wasn't that he was struggling. He was just saying, Lord, I need something more, so I'll never want to go in that bar again. And he parked his company car outside of that bar. And he said, Lord, I need something more. And there in that Kia, the manifest presence of God came into that vehicle and ministered to Matthew and took all the desire away, took anything you ever want to go back to. He took it all away because it was the manifest presence of God that does the work. You can discipline your life away. You can't do what the manifest presence of God could do for you in a minute. I'm talking to some of you folks, some of you old-time people that know what I'm talking about, the manifest presence of God. The service, I'm going to ask you to come tonight and share with us some of your experiences of the manifest presence of God in your meetings. Because the young ones don't know what we're talking about. When you don't have something for quite a while, you can crave it. But if your cravings don't come to pass, after a while, your cravings just become memories. How many times on Saturday night we gather asking for the manifest presence of God and only get His presence? Week after week after week after week. After a week. And after a while, though you crave it and it doesn't happen, then you begin to tell stories from memory. And they only become memories then. What you used to crave only becomes an opportunity to tell a story about a memory of when it happened. Jesus. Listen, this isn't me. I didn't stand up like, I'm going to give it to him this Sunday. And, no, this is what the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He says, and it's missing in your meetings, son. What is a craving? A craving is a strong, intense, urgent desire or longing what a craving is. We in the Pentecostal world, at one time, we had a taste of the manifest presence of God and would crave for more. We're not like others. I know a lot of good Baptist people and love some of them. I'm just kidding. But they don't go to the church the same reason we used to go to church for. Many people go to church out of duty. The pastor would tell them, they're afraid of the pastor calling them up and saying, "Where were you? And why weren't you there?" That's not why we went to church. When there was an opportunity, you had the manifest presence of God. Listen, it didn't happen every service. There are many a good church service. And I go to a church that has many good church services. But we could expect on a regular basis that the manifest presence of God would show up. Sometimes the word would be preached and sometimes it wouldn't. But you knew when it happened. Hallelujah. Because everything changed. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Because it's difficult to explain. To know the slight difference or sometimes even a big difference. But there is a difference between a good church service with the presence of the Lord there and the manifest presence of God. And when the manifest presence of God ceases to be a craving and becomes a memory, we are in trouble. So many of us don't crave it anymore because we haven't had it for so long. And some may even feel that it's not a viable thing any longer. We've been disappointed. Maybe we think it doesn't take place anymore. Maybe it's a sign of the time. It doesn't happen. And so, we have run after programs. I'm not against programs, but they'll never replace the manifest presence of God. We have run after church growth. For most churches, it has become the basis of their existence to see how many people they can gather. We have run after popularity. Do you see how big a name our pastor can have? How many books he can write? How many shows he can be on? How many guest appearances he has? How many conferences he can get to? We have run after finances to see how successful we can be. And all the while, Generation X, Y, and Z don't know what the manifest presence of God is. It's time we did the next generation a favor. I know some of you scratching your head. Where is he going with this? Is he yelling at us? That's what I was saying. Holy Ghost, are you yelling at me? Am I in trouble here? These next couple of generations, they do not know what the manifest presence of God is. We can't expect them to operate like that if they don't know what it is. And the reason they don't know what it is because we have not done our job. Those of us that grew up in Pentecost, that know how the Holy Ghost can come in, and we have not demanded that of ourselves or of the congregation that we have it again. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Some of you preachers' kids know exactly what I'm talking about. So here's the tricky part. As far as I know, there's no formula to follow that causes it to happen. But I can only tell you this, that the Holy Ghost arrested me last Saturday for a reason. And I think He wants to return. I think He wants to return with the manifest presence of God. He wants to fill this house with the manifest presence of God. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's like when you try to start and sing a hymn or a chorus and you begin to sing and the Spirit Spirit of God comes down. That people start to weep. They start to shout. Some will make their way to the altar. Something happens. And it's glorious. Man doesn't got his dirty hands on it. It's not somebody manipulating the congregation or orchestrating. It's just the Lord God Himself has moved into the house like He moved into Solomon's temple. And His glory was so great that the priests could not do their duty because of the glory of God. In the New Testament, He lets us come into His glory. We're too worried about where we're going to eat lunch. We're worried about what people are, who's here and who's not here, and why they aren't here. Listen. We've got to start, you old timers, we've got to crave the manifest presence of God. He didn't bring this to my attention so I could preach this sermon. He brought it up so we could have it. So that we would crave Him again. You see, when we crave Him, church politics flies out the window. Who is singing is not important. Who the preacher is not a big deal. Can you imagine a big conference advertising? We're not sure who's going to speak, but the Holy Ghost is going to show up. We've sold the Holy Ghost out to men and women. We've sold Him out, expecting that they could do for us what only He can do. We've got to get back to craving Him. It's not a matter whether we like you or not. It's a matter whether He's here or not in His fullness. Doris Akers wrote that there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. What she's talking about in the second and third verse. Listen, in the second verse, she's talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I loved it. I loved it. She was there at the Gator Homecoming thing. And she's playing the piano. Now here's the verse you guys don't say. Look, you said, why are you such a stick in the mud? You don't see any of the songs on our Christian radio. All the news, I'll tell you why. Because most of the old songs were written in the manifest presence of God, and the new ones aren't. I'm not against new music, but I just want it written in the manifest presence of God. Most preachers aren't worth listening to because they don't get the message from the manifest presence of God. They got it off the internet, ChatGPT, wherever they go, so their job will be a little easier. Help us, Lord. Listen very clearly to me this morning. I am not blaming anyone. I am not pointing the finger at anyone. I am just crying out and saying, I want some. I need some. I gotta have it. You know where the manifest presence of God is? I was ruined. By the time I was 11 years old, I was ruined, ruined, ruined for your fake, nonsense, make-believe church. I was ruined for all of that because we had the genuine manifest presence of God when we came to church. The manifest presence of God kept you there until 1:30 p.m. in the morning and until midnight at night. It wasn't how long the preacher preached. As long as there was the manifest presence of God, we're not going. When's the last time you were in a church where it just wouldn't quit? I didn't say the preacher wouldn't quit. I just said it wouldn't quit. It just kept going on and on. And you didn't look at your watch. You didn't care. You just didn't want it to end. Folks, we never had to cajole people into coming to Sunday night church. If the Lord really showed up and manifested Himself in the morning, you could not keep them away. I grew up in a very poor area of the country. And people didn't have a lot of money for gas. And instead of saying, well, I don't have enough gas to come back on Sunday night, they would stay in the church. They would bring their lunch, eat lunch at the church, and wait for the church service to start on Sunday night because they did not want to miss the manifest presence of God. Our people would meet the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians in the restaurant. And they would say, hey, you want to feel God? What do you mean you want to feel God? I'm a Presbyterian. Yeah, you want to feel God. Come with me tonight. And they came. If we went around this room, the stories would just fly. I'm going to go around the room tonight about the manifest presence of God in Missouri, in New York, in Iowa, in Michigan, in California, in Oregon, and even in Ohio. All over this nation, there was a time when the manifest presence of God could almost be expected. There was a time that we could not go without it. We still craved it. And when He would come without measure, all of our lives would change again. Listen, when the manifest presence of God shows up, it changes your life. It does something to you forever. You're never the same. A good church service, you can come and you can leave. It said, oh, that was good. That was good. Hallelujah. It's not the same when the manifest presence of God is there. It's different. It changes everybody's. That's why I read those scriptures. They all were healed. They were all filled. It changes everybody in the house. Everybody has changed. I wish I had a definitive answer. You say, all right, here's how North Valley Assembly of God can have the manifest presence of God. I wish I had an easy answer to that. Because if I had it, I would have given it to you a long time ago. The best I can do is this. When the Holy Spirit moves, do not quench Him. How many of you have felt Him rising up within you and you got scared? I don't want to be a spectacle. I don't want to operate in the flesh, and we don't want you to operate in the flesh either. But if it's coming from your spirit, it's not from your flesh. How many of you have choked it back? How many of the Lord says, shout, and you... Sometimes the Lord says, stand up and shout. And, you quench the Holy Spirit. You can't quench Him and expect Him to show up in a manifest presence at the same time. All right, I got to get done. When's the last time you craved the manifest presence of God? Alone, together? When is the last time you've been in an actual, true church service and had the manifest presence of God? For me, it's been a while. And I'm the pastor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or I'm telling you, some of you can't know what I'm talking about because you've not been there. You just haven't been there. You can search all over Phoenix and you're probably not going to be there either. But you see, this craving never really goes away to the old timer, the one who's experienced true Pentecost. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost 11 years old. It never truly, that craving for more of Jesus never leaves you. That craving, I want the fullness. I want the fullness. I want the fullness. I want everything that God has for me. That craving is why I have held out. I have gone like this for much of the new stuff that has come down the pike because it's not birthed in the manifest presence of God. Somebody can say amen. I won't throw you out. But time can dull your senses until those cravings become memories. Oh, I remember this and I remember that. I remember my church in New York, Victory Full Gospel Church, Akron, New York. Oh, I remember a time we were praising the Lord. Everybody's praising God, got their hands up, shouting. There's a bunch of white people shouting, jumping. And then the manifest presence of God moved in. And it was like somebody took a veil and put it over that congregation, and everything went deathly silent. And if you've ever been in a public place that's quiet for more than 30 seconds, it gets real nervous. But the Spirit of God moved. It was so heavy. You didn't have the ability to speak. You didn't have the ability to praise. You didn't have the ability to do anything. And we just stood in the presence of God. I want it. I want stuff like that back. I'm tired of telling you people stories about New York. I'm sick of it. Time we got some new stories. How can I have the manifest presence of God in my life? Go and study the scriptures that I have given you today and discover it. If we only knew how often the Spirit is quenched in our church services or even at home in prayer. Have you ever wanted to shout at home? Have you ever had the Lord just take you over? He loves to do it to me in weird times. I'll just be walking or something and He'll hit me and tears begin to well up and you begin to cry. And listen, if you don't stifle them, He'll continue. But if you stifle it and quench it, He'll stop. The church world, we thought we were smart, that we had become modernized, that we understand psychology and we understand how to move people and all of this kind of thing. And we have left the only thing that actually works, and that's the manifest presence of God in the rearview mirror. The manifest presence of God produces holiness in people. That's why preachers can't stay true to their wives. That's why preachers are turning to homosexuality. That's why we're kicking them out left and right. We've got so many problems and all of this sexual abuse and physical abuse and spiritual abuse. Why? Because we left the manifest presence of God. Bring Him back and He'll fix stuff. You and I quench Him when He's moving on us. To do what? To save our dignity? So people won't think I'm a kook? Most of them think I'm one already, so I got nothing to lose. I've got to wind this up here. You know that difficult scripture? Jesus is speaking in Revelation chapter 2. And the premier church of Asia Minor was Ephesus. And he has a long laundry list of all the good things that they have done. And they support missionaries and they feed and clothe the poor. And they're relatively nice to each other. He says, but I have somewhat against you because you have lost your first love. What was missing? In the Ephesian church, the manifest presence of God that caused people that used to worship demons and have magic and all of that, caused them to be moved to burn it in the streets. The power is in the presence of God. The glory is in the presence of God. The healing is in the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. Prophecy is in the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. At least the Lord gave the Ephesians a chance. When He gets done speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, the last is the church of Laodicea. And He says, guys, you've got no chance. You think you're something when you're nothing. You have no chance except a major overhaul. You've got to go back to the beginning and start all over and find out who Jesus is, the one knocking on your door. You've got to go back and find out who He is and request an audience with Him. It's not church. It's not about how much money you have. It's not how many possessions you have. It's not how much earthly power you have. It is, am I in fellowship with Jesus? And when we gather together, does the Holy Ghost have a chance to be manifested? I need those of you that have experienced this before to crave it again. To raise your expectations for when the church meets. We've got to raise our expectations beyond a good church service. Listen, you can act out a good church service, but you cannot act out the manifest presence of God. I can schedule a good church service. I've been doing it for 40-some years. I know how to conduct a church service. I know how to preach God's Word so you can leave here as a good servant. But I'm a little weary of that. I'm craving for something more, folk. Where we come into church and when we leave, everybody's healed. They're not a cane. They're not a walker among us. I want to come into the manifest presence of God where the altar is littered with eyeglasses. I want to go to church where everybody, because the manifest presence of God, can hug each other genuinely. We've got to crave that again. And if God has to deal with you and me on sin issues, what's my time? I'm gone, but to get the manifest presence of God in a church service, not everybody has to be right, but enough people got to be right. How else can the sinner get saved if he comes and he's not right? It doesn't take everybody, but it takes enough. Let's say we're just going with the Lord. I don't care. I brought you. You've never been to church before. I don't care. This is what we do here. I want you to experience God. I don't want you to experience the pastor, the song leader. You can get all kinds of experiences like that. You can go to Las Vegas and get that experience. Well, we want you to experience the presence of God. Now that, there's a rare commodity, friends. Because anybody's in the house when the manifest presence of God is, no one, N-O-O-N-E, leaves unchanged. I don't care if they run out screaming, pulling their hair. These people are crazy. They will not leave unchanged. Tim, if you'd come. I believe after being taken to the woodshed last week, I believe that the Holy Ghost genuinely wants to move. I believe that He wants to show up and manifest Himself and the glory of God. I believe He wants to do it in the church so that we can go into the streets and the highways and the byways
and bring them in so they can experience the true, genuine presence of God. I believe He wants it. He's looking for people who want it. Like, He wants to do it. It's not like I'm going to wait until they're really, really desperate before I do anything. He is saying, listen, if you'll ask me, if you'll crave it, it'll come. He'll come. He'll come like He came on the day of Pentecost. He'll come like when He shook the place in Acts chapter 4. He'll come like He came to Samaria and Philip was there. He'll come. He'll come like He came to Cornelius' house. He'll come like He came to the Philippian jailer's house. Saved every one of them. We don't serve a partial God. We serve a whole God. Would you stand together with me? I wish I was a better speaker. I wish I had the ability to truly express what is in my spirit so that you might understand. I'm not saying that it's because of our coldness that we don't have it. I'm not scolding us even. I am just saying I want something that I used to have and I haven't been part of it for quite a long time.